Well, tonight I'd like to share with you God's Word, and I'm titling this sharing Reflections and Revelations in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Kind of a long title there, but we're going to be looking at the chapter 17 in the Gospel of John. And obviously, as I said earlier, this time of the year, everybody's getting ready for Easter time, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really, when you think about it from a spiritual standpoint, with what Jesus Christ was looking to do to pay the ultimate price with his life for our redemption, this really culminates everything that he purposed to do. All the work, everything that he did while he was on earth pointed to that time that he would lay down his life and pay the ultimate price and be crucified for us. And then God raised him from the dead, which is the victory we have in the resurrection. But this time of the year, people have all kinds of different thoughts and ideas of what's going on in light of Easter season and thinking about this time of the season this year. But there's a record in the Gospel of John, chapter 17, that I believe is the most dramatic conversation of love and commitment ever recorded. Be it a book, a movie, any kind of media, I believe, for me anyway, that this conversation that Jesus Christ had with his Father is the ultimate in drama. It was just before he would give himself over to be taken and beaten and crucified. And he'd already, I believe, if I'm correct on the chronology, I think he's already been in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he has this conversation. It's only recorded in chapter 17 of John. And before we read this chapter 17, I'd like to make two points here with you. And first of all, we're going to read a few verses that close out chapter 16. And I think this will help set up chapter 17 for us. And then number two, I want to say, is that when I read this section of God's Word, to me, I feel like I've found a letter. I picked up a note that was addressed maybe to somebody else, a personal note, a personal letter. Obviously, the conversations between Jesus Christ and his Father God. And yet, as I look at this letter or this note, I'm in there. I'm a part of what is said in there. And that's pretty exciting. And so as we look at this, I want you to think about who you are in Christ. I mean, the more you know God's Word and you know your identity and some of the truths of God's Word, I think this will really bless your heart. And if you've never read the Bible, what we'll read here, I know will bless you as well. But again, this is just a very special time and a communication that our Father makes available so that anybody could read that letter. You know, you don't like people reading your personal notes and letters, you know, any personal conversations that have happened. But God let us in on this one. And it's just phenomenal. So let's do it. Let's get going. Let's go to chapter 16 and verse 30. Okay? We'll jump right in the middle of this section here in chapter 16. Now, are we sure that thou knowest all things? Now, let me read this. Now, in the sense of, yeah, now we know it. Are we sure that thou knowest all things? This is the disciple saying this. And needeth not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. This is the statement from the disciples. Okay, we're jumping into the middle of a conversation here. But the disciples are saying, we get it now. We really know you're the one. Jesus answered them, verse 31, do you now believe? Finally? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. You know, what Jesus is going to be going through is just catastrophic, horrendous, is the ugliest thing you could ever imagine, the beatings that he would take on. And the crucifixion, I mean, my goodness. And yet, his Father was with him during that whole thing. And what happened to his disciples? They weren't around. They definitely did scatter. These things, verse 33, I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have what?
Peace.
Have peace. Have peace. Isn't that wonderful? Again, in light of what's going to be happening and stuff, the Lord Jesus Christ, his heart was that you would have peace. You would be settled in the depths of your heart. In the world, what do you have?
Tribulation.
Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Now we get to chapter 17. Verse 1, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. You know, our Lord and Savior was ready to do what God called him to do. And here he has this last conversation as recorded in the Bible here. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Wow. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, you know, he doesn't say, O God, O Holy One, but he says, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. You know, God had this figured out way back when, huh? And thankfully so. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. You know, they kept the word. And now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest to me. And they have received them, and they have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. You know, and we saw that a little bit earlier in chapter 16. So, you know, Jesus Christ was talking about his disciples and that they were receiving the word. What does he do in verse 9? I pray for them. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. And we'll see, he talks about prayer several times in here. And he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given of me, for they are thine. You know, sometimes you hear people talk about, oh, we need to pray for the world. Jesus didn't pray for the world. Who did he pray for?
The believers.
The believers, the ones that God gave him. And he knew what he was praying for, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given thee, that they may be one as we are. Now, what a wonderful prayer that the people that Jesus ministered to, that they would be taken care of, right? And he makes this statement here that they may be one as we are. You know, your mind could think all kinds of things. What does that mean? Well, I believe he's communicating that they would be one in purpose of what God has set Jesus Christ to do and to make the fellowship of believers, that we are one together. And we're going to see this over and over again. In fact, five times this expression of being one is used in this chapter 17. Five times. Significance of grace. And I believe it's talking about that they may be one in purpose, that we're all in this together. What God had purposed in this plan with his son and bringing people back to him, that they can be one. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. That's pretty good success right there. But the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Who was that?
Judas.
Probably Judas, yes. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Man, you know, Jesus Christ, the joy that he had, he wanted for everybody to experience. I have given them thy word, and the world hath what? He hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not, here's prayer again, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them or protect them from the evil one, is the scriptures, or is the text, the evil one. He's praying for his people that God would protect them from the devil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Sanctify means to set apart, special. And that's what he's done with these people, set apart, special. They're not of this world, because they're set apart, special, by the truth, and the truth is God's word. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I, here's prayer again, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also. Okay, so there's other folks involved here. He prays for them, but not them alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. So these are people in the future. Who do you think that includes?
Us,
all of us, all the believers that have believed. He's praying for us. He prayed for us 2,000 years ago. Isn't that fantastic? Mm-hmm. And he's praying this, that they all may be what? One. Man, we're in this one family, one purpose. Oh, my goodness. As thou, Father, art in me, and this will maybe explain some things here. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Now that's quite a union, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's a beautiful figure putting us together with God Almighty and Jesus Christ as one. Wow. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one. There's a couple of them already. We've seen three of them. This is the fourth one, I believe, that they may be one, even as we are one. That's really puts us together with God and His Son. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, I think you hear us say sometimes that it's God in Christ in us. And that's what this is kind of saying, isn't it? That's what's happening. It's God in Christ in us. We are one with our Heavenly Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, you can't get any closer than that. Okay, we're not done here. Verse 24, Father, I will that thou also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You know, God knew what was going to happen way back when. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be where? In them, and I in them. Man, now that's getting close. That's getting really together. The love of God may be in them, and I in them. You know, I think of a couple verses with that last part of this verse 26. I think of Romans 5:5, where it says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, right, by the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. With the gift of Holy Spirit, we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. We have that love of God resident within us. And then what's Colossians 1:27 say?
Christ in you,
the hope of glory. Amen, man. What a great way to communicate a unity, a closeness of who we are in Christ. He's in us. Oh, my goodness. So isn't that a fantabulous, it's not a word, but isn't that an amazing section of Scripture there? A lot being said there. And then if you read on, he leaves, they go across the brook, and he puts himself in position to be taken by the soldiers and goes through his trials, his beatings, the crucifixion, and so forth. But what a great, great prayer and some wonderful things for us to see the love of God. You know, there's no one great truth that I'm trying to teach you tonight. A lot of times when we share the word, we're trying to emphasize a point or a truth. But as I said earlier, there are certain truths and realities that are resonant in this chapter that we read through a lot. And I trust that you saw them as we did read through the scriptures. And some of those that we want to remember and not forget is that Jesus had a beautiful, intimate relationship with his Father, our Father too. And Jesus prayed for us that his joy would be fulfilled in us, that God would protect us from the evil one, that we would be set apart, sanctified, special. He also prayed for those who would believe in him in the future. Five times he prayed that we would be one in purpose with him and his Father. And he prayed that we would behold his glory. And finally, that the love of God, that love that God has for Christ, would be in us as Christ is in us also. Isn't that fantastic? So, what a blessing to have the scriptures like this, to be able to read this and to see the great truths. Jesus Christ knew what he was doing, placing himself in the hands of his enemies, realizing what he was going to go through in the next several days, and yet he did it out of love for you and I. So this year, as we recognize what our Lord and Savior did for us and had in mind for us, may we remember and take to heart all that he's given to us, and that we will be our best for him, okay? So Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful truth of your word, and that we could see what a relationship you had with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and just how much you love us and how he prayed for us, and that we're in that we are one with you and him. What a reality that I trust we can just have it sink into our minds as we live life waiting for our Lord and Savior to come back to get us. So thank you for this information, this knowledge, and for your love and grace that you extend to us, Father. And I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.